Today is All Saints' Day with a commemoration and a proper last gospel of the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 7. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the sign of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we sign the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were signed, 144,000 were signed of every tribe of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Reuben 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Gad 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Aser 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Naphtali 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Manasseh 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Simeon 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Levi 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Issachar 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Zebulun 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Joseph 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Benjamin 12,000 signed. After this I saw a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne in the sight of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and the ancients, and the four living creatures. And they fell down before the throne upon their faces, and adored God, saying, amen, benediction, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, honor, and power, and strength to our God, forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5. At that time, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain. And when he was sat down, his disciples came unto him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when they shall revile you and persecute you and speak all that is evil against you untruly for my sake. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven. Blessed are the words of today's Holy Gospel. After this, I saw a great multitude which no man could number. These words are taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On the first Good Friday, our Lord was condemned to death by the Jewish Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the body of Jewish leaders who devised a plan to rid themselves of Christ and his teachings, for his teachings were contrary to their way of life. In other words, our Lord was imposing a certain moral code which the Jews did not want. Their hatred for our Lord was so great that they had him arrested and brought many false accusations against our Lord, in order to incite the people to a hatred for him as well. They were very effective in provoking a popular insurrection against him, for on Good Friday the Jewish mob were screaming for his blood, even though only 5 days prior, on Palm Sunday, they were praising him and hailing him as the Messiah. On Good Friday, the Jewish High Council condemned our Lord to death. They then went to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, to see to it that the death sentence be carried out. Our Lord stood in the courtyard of Pilate's palace. And Pilate came out of his home, stood on the balcony, and looked down on the Jewish mob and our Lord in the midst of them with his hands bound. Pilate summoned our Lord into his judgment room. Our Lord ascended a marble flight of stairs and into the room where Pilate was waiting for him. As you know, Pilate found no cause of death in him, and in order to appease the Jews, he had our Lord scourged. Now, in the city of Rome, near the Basilica of St. John Lateran, is the sanctuary of the Scala Sancta. In English, this means the sanctuary of the holy stairs. The Scala Sancta, or the holy stairs, consists of 28 marble steps. And these marble steps, according to sacred tradition, are the steps that led up to the palace of Pontius Pilate in Jerusalem. The same steps that our Lord ascended to be judged by Pilate. St. Helen, the mother of Constantine the Great, is said to have brought them to Jerusalem from Jerusalem to Rome around the year 326. They are the very steps that the Son of God ascended on the first Good Friday morning. Sanctified by the feet of our Blessed Savior, these steps have been singularly respected and reverenced for over 1,600 years. And although the holy stairs are encased in a protective wood covering, still they are not walked upon with men's feet. People do not walk on the steps. Instead, for centuries, the faithful have ascended these sacred steps on their knees. At each step, a short meditation is made on some aspect of our Lord's passion. On each step, there are little glass panes set into the wood covering so that you can see the spots which have been marked by our Savior's bleeding feet. The Church has attached great indulgences to the devotion of ascending the Scala Sancta on one's knees while contemplating the passion and death of our Savior. Perhaps the most notable person to mount the steps in modern times was Pope Pius IX. On September 19th in the year 1870, the eve of the invasion of Rome by the Masonic King Victor Emmanuel, Pope Pius IX came to the Scala Sancta to follow Christ and to begin, as he said, his own passion. And the vicar of Christ wanted to walk the way of Christ in preparation for the Calvary of stress and strain of an invading army on the outskirts of Rome. Today, my dear friends, we celebrate the Feast of All Saints. It is a feast which honors the millions of men, women, and children in heaven whose names are not known to us. It is also a reminder that we too are called to be saints. Everyone here in this chapel is called to be a saint. And we become saints by our love of God and our love of neighbor. Today's gospel is taken from the greatest sermon ever given. It is the Sermon on the Mount. In this sermon, our Lord taught something new in the world. He gave us certain steps so as to ascend the staircase to sanctity. where people had always striven for riches, honors, and pleasures, in this sermon our Lord prays the humble, the poor, and the suffering. That is why on the Sermon on the Mount he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What this means is those who, however great their wealth, their dignity and learning, they acknowledge that in God's sight they are poor and realize that their riches come from God. A wealthy and well-to-do person may in fact be poor in spirit if they are not attached to their wealth. In other words, if they truly love God more than their worldly possessions and ready to lose all, they are indeed poor in spirit. He then says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land." The meek are blessed, for they shall have peace of heart and peace of life. This does not mean that they go along with the spirit of the world just to get along. That is to say, they are not ready to compromise their Catholic faith in order that there be peace. No, this means they bear patiently all the contradictions of life and look upon them as happening through God's will or by His permission. The meek are those also who, of a naturally fiery disposition, they master their anger and their impatience. They imitate Christ, who said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart." When our Lord speaks of those who mourn, he is referring to the spiritual sorrow of one's own sin. That is the contrition one has for offending God. It is true that those who are most penitent feel most gladness upon their release from sin. Therefore, we should weep for our sins and realize that our Lord is much offended by our sins. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall have their fill. The virtue of justice demands that we give to God what we owe Him. They long for the things of God and desire to be more closely united with Him through growth in holiness. Our Lord says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." That is, those who practice corporal and spiritual works of mercy shall one day hear our Lord say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, take possession of the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The spiritual and corporal works of mercy are the acts of charity that we may perform for our neighbor. Our Lord says, "The pure of heart shall see God." They are those who are pure according to their state of life. Thus, they are those who avoid the occasions of mortal sin, those things, those persons that can and will cause us to sin. But those who strive to be pure in the midst of an impure world will be rewarded with the vision of God in heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That is, those who love peace and preserve it in themselves and among others by not arguing or acting contrary are the beloved of God. They refrain from useless arguing and bickering. And finally, an eternal reward is reserved for those who suffer for Christ and His church. To suffer is to be persecuted by others for standing up for our Catholic morals, for our Catholic faith, or for the greater honor and glory of God. Hardly a week can pass in which we are not called upon to do this in the workplace, at school, or some public place. The Beatitudes, which our Lord preached in the greatest sermon ever preached, contain not only the law of God, but the perfect practice of the virtue of charity. They are all different aspects of how to practice charity in certain instances. Charity is a divine virtue. It is divine because by this virtue we love God above all things for His sake. We also love our neighbors as ourselves for the love of God. St. Paul tells us the virtue of charity is the greatest of all the virtues. If we strive to put the Beatitudes into practice, we shall follow in the footsteps of the saints and climb, as it were, the Scala Sancta to heaven. And if we persevere in the belief and the practice of our faith and our love and devotion to Mary, the Queen of Saints, then we can have great confidence that one day we will be numbered among the great multitude in heaven, as St. John says in today's epistle, which no man could number. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.